You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 1st of July. NBA free agency has come with a flurry and maybe even gone by day one. Reports have the Jazz signing Bojan Bogdanović and Ed Davis. A brand new looking Jazz team. We'll break it down, what it means, where they rank, and how we got here. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! Pow! One more, shall we, all together? Pow! Wow, what a crazy day on the first. Thanks for everyone who tuned into the live show. Reports are out there that the Utah Jazz, though nothing official from the Jazz, nothing's been announced, that to go along with the reports of the Mike Conley trade, that the Jazz reportedly have signed Bojan Bogdanović to a 4-year, $71 million deal, and Ed Davis to a 2-year, $10 million contract. I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, lots of geeky numbers, and hopefully making it more fun to be a fan of your favorite team, the Utah Jazz. We'll break this down for you today, take you through it. We'll be back with you tomorrow. First day of summer league today, so we'll react to the 3 second-round draft picks tomorrow, plus more of this as the week goes on. More and more information, so keep coming back to Locked On Jazz. You can get it on iTunes, on Google Podcasts, on the Himalaya app, on Spotify and Stitcher, and any of your podcast providers. All right, let's dig into this one. Let me give it from a very basic level, not assuming that everyone knows how it all works. So the Jazz went into the offseason, and the first move they've reportedly made is they acquired Mike Conley as point guard, but they did it without including Derek Favors in the deal. So that allowed the Jazz to still have the slot of Derek Favors and use that financial position to either sign a free agent or to pick up the option on Derek Favors. And they went to free agency with an intention to change the team. The Jazz have been the number one team in the league at getting open looks. They've been the number one team in the league in the quality of shots they've been getting, and they have had bad shooters taking them. And they went to change that. The first change was Mike Conley, and now they made a very tough decision. According to all reports, Derek Favors will move on. His run with the Jazz, it will end. He will be moved to the New Orleans Pelicans, according to reports, who are going to be quite a team. We'll dig into the other teams as the week goes on. And the Jazz, in turn, have signed a 6'8", according to reports, again, nothing official, 6'8", 216-pound offensive player. And a elite-level shooter who became an offensive creator this year for the first time in his career after the Victor Oladipo injury, and his name is Bojan Bogdanović. He's 30 years old. He's 6'8". He's 216 pounds. He played for the Indiana Pacers. He was originally drafted by Brooklyn, spent an extra year in Europe when they couldn't come to an agreement, came to the NBA at 25, then went to Washington in a deadline deal, signed with the Pacers for 2 years, and last year had a very good first year with Indiana, and then last year when Victor Oladipo got hurt, he became their primary offensive player and really excelled in that role, showing an element to his game that he had not had before. What type of player did the Jazz acquire in this 6'8" Bojan Bogdanović? An elite level shooter. Catch and shoot last year, he was the 8th best catch and shoot 3-point shooter in the NBA. The ability to create offense and scoring. After the injury last year, he went ahead and averaged for 23 points a game for the 12 games in February, 22 points a game in March. He slowed down a little bit late in April. He played a little less too, as they were set for their playoff positioning, and he was fabulous from February 1st to the end of March. After the Oladipo injury, he was absolutely terrific. If you look at him, whether it's you want to take the All-Star break or take it from for most of February, even back it up from February all the way until the end of March, or even their game against Detroit when he had 20 in that span of time. He was absolutely electric in what he brought to the Indiana Pacers and their team. As he became their primary offensive player, he showed the ability and prowess to do it, and he puts the Jazz in something we've talked about an awful lot into the rightful order of the basketball universe. He was double figures in every game but one in that whole span. They lost to the Warriors by 23. He only had 9 points. And over that 28-game span, he averaged 22 points, 4 rebounds, and 2 assists. So he's one of the best shooters. He comes off handoffs well. He can play with the ball in his hands a bit. So now the Jazz have four different guys, Ingles, in Bojan, in Conley, and in Mitchell, who can all play with the ball in their hands. What the Jazz have really done is completely, dramatically changed who they are as a basketball team. They've been a big, thick, lack of spacing, defensive team. They are now a wide open offensive team with elite level shooting and a defensive player of the year in the middle that's going to have a heck of a burden to be able to hold it down. The shooting on this team is incredible now. Last year, the Jazz were one of the top-level catch-and-shoot three teams in the league, and they were the number one QSQ team. That means they took the best shots of any team in the league, whether they got those because of Quinn Snyder's offense or whether they got those because their shooters were so poor that teams left them open. We're only going to find out. But the Jazz now have four guys that are all in the top 50 catch-and-shoot three-point percentage. Bojan Bogdanović was 45% last year, eighth best. He had the 11th best QSQ in the league. What does that mean? That means that of what his shot quality was compared to the shots he got was, or shot result was compared to the shots he got, he was the 11th best in the league. Durant's number one, Steph's number two on that level. Mike Conley, Donovan Mitchell, Joe Ingles are all top 50 catch and shoot 3-point guys. Bogdanović, 45%. Mitchell, 40.1. Ingles, 40.1. Conley, 39.8. I mean, this is a completely different team. Bogdanović, as well as Ingles, Bogdanović are basically 50% corner three shooters. 50% corner three shooters for these guys. It opens up just everything for the Utah Jazz offense and what Quinn Snyder can do. Rudy Gobert last year, when without Favors on the floor, shot 70% from the field. He is the quiet winner in all of this. As the Jazz now are this wide open offensive team, all four guys, if Ingles starts, can play with the ball in their hands. Defensively, are they going to be as good? I think that's a huge question mark, and it's you're relying on Rudy Gobert to be that force in the middle that allows you to play non-elite defensive players around him. Conley and Mitchell can be good. Bojan and Ingles probably are not on the highest level. And so it will be interesting to see whether or not they are able to be as good a defensive team. If Rudy wins Defensive Player of the Year again, let me tell you what, this team's going to have had a heck of a season. But when you look at Bogdanović, what you're getting is that is a great shooter, and also when you look at his points per shot attempt, you're getting an incredibly efficient player. 93rd percentile for his position last year, 92nd percentile the year before, 88th percentile the year before that, 63rd percentile in assist rate for his position. Joe Ingles is 98th. So you're getting one option after another with him, and the Jazz offense just completely, completely different than it's been. And the Jazz, we're thinking about Mirotić. I liked Bogdanović a bunch more. The one thing you can't do with him is you can't run a pick and roll with him. He's not a very good picker and roller. They'll just switch it. So it's not a very effective play. So you're using him as a ball handler, and Gobert's setting those picks, but Gobert's the best pick setter in the league. So I'm not sure you really want somebody else to be doing that. And you've got a guy who last year didn't take a great amount of catch and shoots and didn't take a lot of extra threes because maybe the system and he was playing with the ball in his hands, now is going to get a great amount of looks. I mean, if he gets Jay Crowder looks and the amount of looks Jay Crowder gets, it'll be interesting to see if he's as willing to fire up those open looks. Jay last year took 6.5 threes a game, and was willing, very willing, to take contested tough look threes. I'm not sure that that's something that Bogey is willing to do. He's kind of, the book on him a little bit has been of a player that's not always willing to take a 3-point shot that isn't wide open. And if you look at his tracking data from last year about, you know, whether he took open looks versus non-open looks, you'll see, and I'll pull that up for you here in a second, that his defenders were, he only took of his, if he took 4.5 threes, or he took 5 threes a game, I think last, 4.8, he only took 0.4 a game with a defender anywhere close to him. He took open look threes. That's when he got him. He took the open looks, and hopefully he'll continue to get them. So the Jazz, reportedly 4 years, $71 million deal. Patrick Beverley has re-signed with the Clippers, is what those little chimes is you're hearing here at a late hour as I record this. Now, what do the Jazz do next with the roster? They made reportedly another free agent deal. I'll tell you about that when we continue. But today's show brought to you by Murdoch Chevy. Murdoch Chev's got all sorts of fun things going on for the 4th of July celebration out in Woods Cross. And there's nothing more American than Murdoch, than Chevy. And frankly, there's nothing more Utah than Murdoch. 90 plus years they have been in Utah, and they've been selling Chevys the entire time, and Chevy is Americana, so celebrate the red, white, and blue by heading over to Murdoch Chevy in Woods Cross and taking advantage of the 0% APR financing for over 60 months, plus the all-new Blazers got $2,000 cash allowance on most models going on there. The Cruze has got some great deals. I drove the Equinox and loved it. They've got a deal of up to $6,500 off one of the Equinoxes right now, and you've got all the July 4th celebrations. And the Silverado actually has 0% APR for up to 72 months for qualified buyers with approved credit. So go check it all out at Murdoch Chevy, located in Woods Cross, also up in Logan. Today's show is also brought to you by Homie, revolutionizing the real estate world. That's what Homie is doing for you and everyone else there. And frankly, just saving you cash equity on your real estate purchase. For years, it's been 6%. We just all accepted it. That's what it is. Well, how about this? A flat fee of $1,500. As home prices go up and up and up and up, there's no need for real estate agents to be making more and more and more and more. So instead, Homie has changed the way they're doing business. What they're doing for you is that they have made it a $1,500 flat fee, and then the Homie group comes together and works with you and makes you get the best opportunities you can. And that has worked, because right now the numbers show that Homie is being able to pull off a faster selling rate than the market is, and a higher price rate. Find out what Homie can do for you by texting LOCK, L-O-C-K-E, to 88588. That's 88588. Text LOCK, L-O-C-K-E, to 88588. So once the Jazz decide they're going to move on from Favors, and as difficult a decision is that, I'm sure that was for the Jazz, it just didn't make sense any longer to be paying Derek Favors $18 million a year to be a backup center predominantly and in a starting lineup that just never quite gelled. I mean, we've talked about this so much, but the Jazz lineup with both Favors and Gobert on the floor was like in the 11th percentile offensively, and the Jazz just needed to widen out the floor and spread things out and let Gobert roll the basket with space, let Donovan drive with space, let Conley create in space, all of these different things. And so as much as we all love Derek and the Ingles Favors pick and roll in that second unit is dynamic and does all sorts of things, it just didn't make financial sense. And so you use that money to go get Bogdanovich, but then the cost is you have to let Derek go. So now what is the answer? Well, the answer, the Jazz went, and you're going to have to find a backup point guard for cheap. You're going to have to find some wing depth for cheap. You're going to have to find a center for cheap. And the Jazz got 30-year-old, according to reports, 30-year-old, 6'10", Ed Davis, one of the elite offensive rebounders in the NBA. He was in the 97th percentile both the last 2 years on both offensive and defensive rebounding. So he's a great, great rebounder. He is not a great role guy. He's not a great offensive player. He's a pretty average pick and roll guy. They got him for a 2-year, $10 million deal. He is a very low usage player. He's out there to get offensive rebounds and putbacks for you. He's a pick setter. He's not an elite shooter, but this is a guy who's a consummate pro. He's great in the locker room. I got numerous texts from people today that told me what an incredible guy he is in the locker room for the Jazz. I mean, my texts were just blowing up today, particularly from people around the league telling me what they think of this, you know, play-by-play announcers in the league telling me I'm working till June and all of that. Ed Davis is a difference maker. Really like him on the court, but in the locker room is all about winning with a wow started off. On Davis. Davis was the number two defensive plus-minus big man in the NBA last year behind, you got it, Rudy Gobert. So big number there. Defensive plus-minus is probably better to believe it over an extended stretch. And the year prior, he was the 13th best pick and roll or defensive big. And if you start kind of eliminating guys who didn't play much, Epe Udo's in there, 63 games. Sal Mezri's in there. Nene's in there at 52 games. So you get take out some of those guys who just didn't play a whole lot, and you suddenly have Ed Davis is now top 10 both the last 2 years, top two big man last year, top 10 the year prior, defensive big man. So the Jazz defensive prowess probably holds for 48 minutes of that center position. He'll be a backup five. I've seen some people saying you start him at four. The whole point of this has been to open up the floor, give the Jazz more offensive opportunities, give Conley driving lanes. I mean, the Jazz are the number one drive team in the NBA last year. They're the number one drive team in the NBA. And a lot of the Jazz players, frankly, last year were really good at it. But if you go take the top 100 players in drives last year, so the guys who all took, you know, over 400, I'm doing this just off the top of my head here, you know, the best five in the league are Giannis, DeRozan, Durant, LeBron, Harden, Julius Randle, Archie DiArcono comes up in this group surprisingly. And now you can kind of start to scan down and look for some of these players who, you know, now are members of the Utah Jazz, and you start to see that these you've got guys who are going to have room to drive and make plays. Frankly, Ricky Rubio was very good. Bogdanovich, 25th in the NBA. Conley, 29th in the NBA as a guy on drives. As he, you know, so now you've added two of the top 30 drive guys in the NBA to a team. Joe Ingles, 47th in the league in drives. And this is a team that drives as much as just about anyone. Donovan, 75th in the league in drives out of the top 92. So not great. We'll see whether or not that opens up some opportunities. Donovan had the fifth most amount of drives all of last year, too. And Mike Conley was at the 20th most amount of drives last year. Bogey, not as high a number there, but that's what the Jazz have done, is opened up this floor. Bogey was the 56th most amount of drives last year for Indiana, and then Joe Ingles comes in on the lower cusp of that, but he's still in the top 100 of drives. And so you have, this is what we do. We run drives, we run handoffs, we run pick and roll, and we have just added a bunch of players that now will have space and room to do it. The biggest change we're going to have, frankly, is the fact that you're just going to be one main picker on the floor. We're not going to have both Favors and Gobert on the floor. But Ricky Rubio took the seventh most amount of handoffs. Joe Ingles took the eighth most amount of handoffs. Donovan Mitchell took the 13th most amount of handoffs of any player in the league last year. Mike Conley, when he was with Memphis, was one of the best in the league. He took the 40th most last year let me see if I can find Bogdanovich and what he was. Sorry, I just got to run a little bit of a different search to make it. Oh, no, I don't want receiver in games. I want receiver in teams, but I cannot get that. All right. And then we start to look, and let's do the same search we just did a moment ago on, you know, the best guys in the league at it. So the guys who, you know, the top 100 guys, ran 230 of them, the best handoff guys in the league, this is where the Jazz, Rubio was one of the best at 11th, so they're going to have to find ways to get him. Mike Conley was 17th best in the NBA. Joe Ingles was 25th best in the NBA. And now they do it with a spread floor and an off. Donovan was 32nd in the league in handoffs, and they'll do it with a spread floor. And Bogey was looked to be about 60th in the league out of the top 100 guys in the league last year. So they spread the floor, hopefully even get better at it, and they have just an offensive firepower that's amazing, and they now have Davis as the backup guy in the group, one of the best defensive plus-minus guys. Not a great pick-and-roll, great offensive rebounder. Can add that to him. He'll be your backup five. All right, how did we get here? I think it's worth taking a step back and kind of walking through how we got here and what the Jazz did to get here, and we'll do that when we continue today on this special Locked On Jazz edition. Just an amazing, amazing day for the Utah Jazz, who, frankly, we'll talk about it, might be the favorite in the Western Conference until we find out what Kawhi Leonard's doing. Today's show is brought to you by Intercap Lending. I got the greatest text or email from Brock yesterday on Intercap. He said they now are up to 15 branches. They've added from St. George to Logan to Tooele and Vernal, and they also have branches in Boise, Las Vegas, and Phoenix. Why do you have all these branches? Because you get deals done. This is our guy, Steve Carter, going to work. As of June 30th, Intercap exceeded the production of the entire 2018. Intercap has done more loans in the first 6 months than they did in all of last year. I'd love to believe this is all because of Locked On Jazz advertising. Probably not, but if you'd like to advertise on Locked On Jazz, you're welcome to email me at dlock09@gmail.com. That's kind of a fun way to sell the product right there. But in all truthfulness, why are they getting things done? It's not just because of Locked On Jazz advertising. It's because they get deals done. It's communication. Why do real estate agents take business to Intercap? Because Intercap gets deals done. That's why I got mine done with them, because Steve Carter was so amazing that he simply got my deal done. He knew that I was busy, crazy, disorganized, a mess with this brain, and he got the deal done, and that's what makes Intercap so great. While large majority of the production is still purchase position, the current interest rate environment makes refinancing a no-brainer, and they we have no idea how long interest rates will stay this low, so it'd be great for you guys to call Steve and have him do the same thing he did for me for you. 385-800-8528. Tell Steve you're with Locked On Jazz. You'll get the corporate discount. We've built Locked On Jazz in their system as a corporate thing, so you get the corporate discount. 385-800-8528. If you're buying a house right now, ask your real estate agent, why aren't you using Intercap? They get deals done. Intercap Lending, NMLS number 190465. For more information, visit intercaplending.com. Here's how we got here. I think it's worth remembering. Last year, we go into the offseason, and Exum's a free agent, and Favors is a free agent, and Rubio's coming back on his free agent year. And the question is whether the Jazz are going to do anything. And I think the Jazz surprised some people and might have even frustrated some people by rolling the exact same team back. And the fact was, there really wasn't a lot to be done at that moment in time. You know, if you kind of go back and look at the 2018 NBA free agency, if you weren't going to do if you didn't re-sign Derek Favors, it wasn't totally clear what other things could be done. If you didn't re-sign Dante Exum, it wasn't totally clear, you know, who you had bypassed and what the Jazz should have done instead. And I think that was kind of an important thing to look back at, is trying to figure out, like, well, who could have we signed, right? Trevor Ariza signed his big deal to go to Phoenix, and that turned out to be kind of a mess. But there weren't these St. Nima Bjelica signed with the Kings in the midst of all of that, and maybe that could have been a possibility to see one come. But it wasn't a big enough. You were going to get rid of Favors for that. And so what the Jazz did instead is, to some extent, they punted it. It cost them a year a little bit, but I'm not sure, you know, was Donovan really ready to carry it all the way, or do you need another year of experience? Was Rudy really ready to carry it? Maybe. But the Jazz instead signed Derek Favors to that deal, in which they got themselves the June 6th date on the deal. And that really turned out to be the key to this whole thing, is the Jazz having the flexibility here to be able to make that move and have the 6 days to go. And this market moved crazy fast. I mean, Favors is going to be on a new team before we even hit July 1 this year, as free agency just moved faster than ever before. When Paul George didn't move last year and stayed put, there weren't, I mean, Montrezl Harrell would have been an interesting backup, and there were maybe some backup, but you had to find something to replace Favors with, and that just did not exist last year. And so this year it was out there, it was available, and frankly, it had to be done. It was time. The Jazz had run this twice in a row, and they needed to make the move. And the first move they made, and the trade deadline came, and it looked like a disaster. All the players the Jazz thought they were interested in, Nikola Mirotic, Tobias Harris, Otto Porter, all moved in the trade deadline, at the trade deadline. And it felt at the time like, oh my gosh, those are the guys we want. Those are the stretches that are supposed to be available. What are we possibly going to do? How do we end up making a move here? And furthermore, the Jazz go down the Conley road. And I think I don't know what the phrase is. It's not that they got duped. It's that they might have gotten played a little bit in that. I'm not convinced to this day that Memphis ever intended to make that deal, but that they wanted to make it look like they were on to make that deal so that they weren't showing up Marc Gasol by just trading him and held him in the deepest respect. And so the Jazz got victimized by them trying to show respect to Gasol by having Conley out there, and then they didn't make the deal. I think the Jazz were willing to give up that second pick by the time the deal, by the deadline was there. And so it's not entirely clear why that deal didn't happen. But nonetheless, the Jazz, frankly, didn't have to move some of the players that they might have had to move otherwise in that deal. They didn't. And so they were able to instead here hold on to Favors after making that deal and then use this 5-day window. If you look at it in the scheme of a long 14-month period, instead of like, today I want this, today I want that, it makes a great deal of sense. And then the way they played free agency, Tobias Harris goes and signs a 5-year max deal in Philly. I'm the biggest fan in the world of Tobias Harris. I didn't want to sign. I don't want that. D'Angelo Russell signs a max deal with Golden State. Had the Jazz not done the Conley deal, they don't get anything. Kemba goes to Boston, Harris goes to Philly, Russell goes to the Warriors. The Jazz are sitting here without their reason, and Rubio signs an insane 3-year, $51 million deal. Like, I hope we're not bringing Rubio back on that deal. This could have very easily gone wildly wrong. You know, whether Mike Conley at 30-plus years old turns out to be that good, whether or not Bojan and this team is able to score offensively the way we think, and are they still able to defend, and do they rebound if Bogdanović is a bad defensive rebounder. Like, he's not a good rebounder. Like, the Jazz have a rebounding. Rudy Gobert's going to have to be amazing on the glass. I mean, Jay Crowder's not a particularly good rebounder either, so I'm not sure the Jazz lost a great deal there. If possibly they bring Thabo back, he's actually was a better defensive rebounder than Jay the entire time. So maybe it's not, you know, and that Jay, frankly, Bogey's bigger. Jay's 6'6", but Jay's defensive rebounding percentage for his position in the NBA last year was, his offensive was in the 8th percentile and his defensive rebounding was in the 15th percentile. So as much as Bogey's not a particularly good rebounder, Bogey was in the 11th percentile and the 26th percentile for his position. He's actually a little bit better than Jay Crowder. So the Jazz have a little bit of a deep, and maybe it's not going to work. Like, there's a chance, you know, maybe Conley slows down. Maybe the defensive prowess of Rudy was more predicated having a second big around him than we think. Maybe Ed Davis can't hold the fort down the way Favors did. Maybe, like, there's a lot of things that go wrong here. This is not guaranteed, but it had a chance to be really disastrous, frankly. It had a chance to be things not pull off the Conley deal, now be desperate to pull it off. The point guard flood that was anticipated on the marketplace never really happened. Patrick Beverley signs a 3-year, $40 million deal today. Rubio signs a 3-year, $41 million. Whoa! So the Jazz able to get this thing together and have it come together in a pretty fabulous rate. Now, we do not know as we sit here right now where Kawhi Leonard is going. And if Kawhi Leonard ends up with the Lakers, then it's a totally totally different deal. But as we sit right now, I think the Jazz will be the favorite in the Western Conference. If Kawhi Leonard goes to the Raptors, the Jazz are going to be the favorite of the Western Conference. Now, favor of the Western Conference might mean that you're at 54 wins and the Nuggets are at 53 and the Blazers are at 53 and the Lakers with AD and LeBron and whatever, Kyle Korver and Andre Iguodala and whatever else they end up with are at 52 and the Thunder are at 50 and the Spurs are at 49 and the Clippers are at 48 and the Pelicans are at 48 and you're not much further off anyone, that you're an inch away from being the seventh seed as you are being the number one seed. But it sure seems to me as though the Jazz at this moment in time are probably the Western Conference favorite. As I sit here recording at 11:45, and this can end in Kawhi Leonard makes one decision to go to the Lakers, or frankly, Kawhi Leonard goes to the Clippers. The thing the Jazz are lacking is the guy. Is Rudy Gobert's defense that good to be the guy? If the Jazz are a top five defensive team with this team, and Rudy Gobert's that great that he wins Defensive Player of the Year for the third straight year, and signifies himself as a Hall of Famer at that point, then the Jazz are going to be amazing. But is Donovan in his third year going to be ready to carry this team? Very similar to maybe the Philadelphia 76ers with Allen Iverson that made an NBA Finals. Is he ready to be that good a player? I think he probably is, and this should certainly motivate him a little bit as the as everything takes place here. So, New Orleans is awfully good. Jrue Holiday, Lonzo Ball, J.J. Redick, Derek Favors is their center, Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram. Woo, they're coming. So this is, when I say the Jazz are the favorite, I think that's probably going to be universally the truth here. The fact is, though, it's not going to be by huge amounts, right? I don't think they're going to be projected to go win 60 games while the next closest team is going to win 54. Or 51. Like, I didn't even include Houston, who's going to be a 50-plus win team. And we'll see what the Warriors are. I don't quite understand the D'Angelo Russell move that they just made. But and we'll have to really sort this out, and I'll pull in the points gained and all those kind of things and try to figure out how much the Jazz are going to miss Favors and what Ed Davis does for you in points gained. I haven't actually looked. I'll bet he's pretty good. He's a low volume, high efficiency player. Bogdanovich is one of the best out there. Ed Davis is a 0.7 points gained player. I mean, the Jazz can they go find some, it doesn't look like they're going to get Shabazz Napier. I think he's included in that sign-in trade. Can they find some backup point guard for a little depth in there? Can they find some other guys just to add a little depth? You're a top-heavy team compared to what you once were, and that's very different. We talked so much about, 4 through 11 depth the last few years. 3 through 11 depth is interchangeable. That's not who we are now. Now you've got guys who've got to be ready to play. Royce is going to have a big role in this. Dante's got to stay healthy. Neto may be able to stick around to be the point guard depending on how the numbers play out on all of this. And he's got to stay healthy. So this will certainly be an interesting year, but a great deal of excitement. And I do think when all the predictions come out, the way we stand, if we stand as this, that the Jazz will be these moves put the Jazz as the favorite in the Western Conference. And that has not happened since 1997, right? All right, that wraps up. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back with you after Summer League. Come out and join us at the Vivint for Summer League. I'll be on NBA TV with the guys. George Niang is going to be joining us on the broadcast as well, talking to him. So that'll be a lot of fun. Thanks very much for tuning in. Have a great one.